So, I call our regular meeting to order at 7:32. And, Sharon, will you please ascertain that there is a quorum? Excuse me. Here? Here. Okay, there is a quorum. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, approval of the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve December 16th, 2014 agenda.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded to approve the agenda. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. 5-0. Okay, student representative report, Van Abbott.
The wrestlers, they were region champs. They took first at regions for 3A. And four of them went to state, which was just this weekend. And basketball season started up recently. The girls, JDHS, came here last weekend, and the girls JV and varsity played. And then varsity boys went to Ketchikan last weekend, and the JV boys are going to Juneau this weekend. And the Little Norway tournament is being held here this weekend, and that is varsity boys and girls. And then last week was the Week of Hope in the high school, and that's just like suicide and awareness and like encouragement and to help out. Yeah. And that's it.
Did they do anything unique or special about the Week of Hope?
Some of the student council members they made signs and put them up in the commons, and then in the bulletin there was a message, like the advice for that day.
Hey, thank you. Okay, correspondence. Do we have any correspondence? Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items. Comments from the audience related to agenda items. Comments from board members.
I'll apologize for being late for the student recognition. I feel terrible, but it was pretty amazing the volume of kids we had here if you were unable to attend.
Yes, it was wonderful. Actually, what I have is we actually have a request from the borough assembly about a resolution that they are going to be doing, because what has happened is the Secure Rural Schools monies that actually we've been getting, this the community has been getting a significant amount of money from the Secure Rural Schools federal funding, and it's been going to the borough, and the borough has been setting a lot of that aside for the school. Jim Schwartz came up with a plan quite a lot of years ago. I'm not sure that the boroughs actually stuck to the plan the whole entire time. But the idea being that they gave a portion to the school, but they also set aside a portion in a special savings account. So if at some point in the future that Secure Rural monies was not available, then they would have that monies to augment what they give to the school. And also, Jim's plan was that every year the borough would take more and more out of their general fund, so that when this fund really went away at some point in the future, they would have been taking all what they're required to give us, or what they're actually now they're not required because of another thing has recently happened. But what all they do give us out of their general fund rather than out of the Secure Rural Schools monies. But I don't think they ever actually followed through on that portion of it. But I do know that they've been setting some aside, which is great. Because, unfortunately, for the first time in 15 years, the Secure Rural Schools monies are not coming from the federal government. It's very interesting, because I was just kind of hearing the rhetoric up here, and I wasn't really listening to it very carefully, and I couldn't figure out why the political parties were divided the way they were quite. Well, what it is, basically, what it says in this thing, release thing I have here, is that the environmental groups and the legislators that support more of that agenda are in favor of a secure rural schools monies because they don't support logging in, they don't support logging. And so the other people want the timber industry to be revitalized, so they're saying, well, as long as we're giving them the secure rural schools monies, there's not going to be the push to revitalize the timber industry. So we want the timber industry revitalized, so consequently, anyway, so we're kind of caught in the middle here. But I think that if we do, I mean, I think that they do want some information from us quite soon, but it seems like $600,000, how would that, what percentage of our budget would that be? Well, right now it doesn't come out of our, you know, it isn't directly out of our budget because the borough has set monies aside. But if it was $600,000, I mean, six teachers, I mean, what is it? It's a lot. But we're hopeful that this won't actually have that kind of an impact on it because of the foresight of the borough and how they have planned for this eventuality. But we will come up with something because what they want us to do is send something back to Congress that they can use for part of the argument. All right, so that's my board's comments unrelated to agenda. Okay, then we have the consent agenda. Can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, motion been made and approved to approve the made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, motion passes. 5-0. Administrative reports. Okay, Superintendent Stroh is on administrative leave through January 5th for family medical issues. She has appointed the elementary principal, Erica Clute Painter, as acting superintendent during her administrative leave. So, and I don't think our new acting superintendent probably has anything on as acting superintendent, but you might have something when it comes down to the elementary principal portion. So we will just go forward with that. Okay, maintenance, Dan Tate. And Dan is actually also out of oh, that's right. Jury duty in Ketchikan, and he actually got chosen. So he's there for a couple days, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know who all has it.
I've got a copy.
You got it right here.
I think we have it.
Yeah. I think Cheryl was going to read
Okay, Cheryl was going to read some of it because I'm not sure I can read very much. And the part we are most interested in is the boiler portion. And actually, in last month's packet, there was information on the boiler also that we had in our last month's packet.
Okay. Maintenance report for December 2014 from Dan Tate. He was concerned that he wanted to point out number 3 and number 4. Since the last maintenance report, further research into repairing our boiler in the middle school has moved towards outward replacement of that boiler instead. This was due to a couple of reasons. First, the actual design service life of the boiler was determined to 35 years, a fact not known earlier. We are at 30 years on this boiler. Secondly, a dealer of this make of boiler calculated the likely cost of refurbishment versus new to be between $10,000 and $15,000 more for new. With the added benefit of 35 years, new years of potential service, we finally became aware that the manufacturer only recently discontinued manufacturing the seal kits needed to repair our boiler. This final fact necessitates the need to replace our boiler. We have, as of last weekend, put our boiler out to bid for replacement in the Juneau and Anchorage newspapers. Dan Tate wrote the rough draft of our request for proposal, and Diane Hiley of CERC filled in the missing pieces. It will run in the papers this weekend as well. Contractors will have until January 5th to provide us with their proposal. A bid protest period will follow, with the award hopefully being approved by this board in February for completion during spring break.
Okay, and we also have monies in the capital maintenance area of our budget was set aside for things such as this. So that's a good thing that money has been set aside for these sorts of unexpected expenses. And I'm not sure how much this is, but it's fairly expensive. I don't think that doesn't require any action on our part at this point, I don't believe. Okay. Principals reports. Erica Clude Painter and Rick Dormer. Who wants to go first?
Do I need down there?
If you pick that up,
a little clip.
You can clip that on, that should work.
I feel so important.
Okay, elementary principal slash.
What do I have to talk about? I have to talk about the fact that we are making it through December, which is always, you know, a big job, and we're doing a great job of it. We had really good turnout at our parent-teacher conferences in November, which were right before Thanksgiving, so we haven't met since then, and we had excellent turnout, as we always do, so we always appreciate our parental support. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for all of our kids. And we are gearing up for the annual sing-along on Friday morning, which we're excited about, 9:30 in the auditorium. That's always a good show, so show up for that. Kindergarten concert on Thursday at 12:45, also a good show. And just lots going on in December. Teachers are working hard, kids are working hard. We are ready for a break. Yep, that's about it.
Okay. Rick Dormer.
Hi, good evening. Yeah, Eric said that right. We're getting through December. Wow, it feels like a task. Just an exciting, busy time, and kids are on, you know, heightened. It's not even a sugar high. It's just an excitement about the year, and it makes management more challenging. And I see Ginger shaking her head. So, yeah, as one of our teachers. We also had conferences. I was looking at some stats out there. 64% in both buildings, immediately the middle school and the high school. So it's good. That's probably kind of an average probably for a middle school, which is great. And I think that's high probably for high school. And tends to be kind of works its way up. There's some great stats about what time they came in. And we did a little, it was the second time we've done this where we did two evening sets of conferences and didn't do the morning. And the staff does really feel that gets more parents in. It just seems to be it's always been a busier time, and our stats really show that seems to be more useful for parents to get people in. So that was great. Usually the younger per building, you know, there's more sixth graders and then fewer eighth graders. There's more freshmen and fewer senior parents. It's just kind of how it goes, and that's okay. That's okay. And again, thanks for parents coming in. Our teachers feel really valued when people come in, especially for those older grades, because there's still so much going on, and at the same time, they're so independent. So they really appreciate the time to talk with parents. So thank you for parents and staff for working hard on those. We have given the WorkKeys test, which is a big piece of our ASPE score. You know, we're really excited. We have 2 4-star and 5-star schools in the district, and the ASPE is one of the components of that measure, and it is changing a little bit where it'll be based more on the score of the ASPE. For the past year, it was based also on a participation rate of the WorkKeys for the ASPE score. So that's that 4 and 5-star schools. So we did that. That's all juniors, and then any seniors who I think missed it the year before. There's kind of a makeup for a couple seniors who are new to the district or something like that. So, but all juniors, and Rachel Etchigan does a great job coordinating that and getting all of them in there and tested. And we don't necessarily have scores back, but again, it's great just getting that kind of a check mark off the yearly testing schedule. So it's good to do that on December 2nd. Well, it went very well. Continuing to talk about tests, we also ran through in both the middle school and the high school. It looked a little bit different with each of them, but we did the AMP practice. Again, this replaces the SBAs. That's the Alaska Measures of Progress, and this is now computerized, so now we're talking KITE, I'm sorry, which is the portal that they take it on. So, but what we did is we finally, this was the first chance kids were able to log in, just a generic login, and to get on the computer and to see what it's going to feel like in a test. And it's a practice test, and they actually don't even have the answers really available for them. But it's just about getting on there and seeing what it looks like, how to highlight, and the different type, how do you, you know, drag a bar to make a matching. So it is a good experience, and I think I've popped around to quite a few, and for, again, that 6th through 10th grade, we did that with teachers working with them and helping them out, and there's a language arts test, and there's a math test, and again, if any parents are listening or any board members want information, there is a generic login. Anybody can get on there and practice them, but that was, again, another check mark off the testing as we continue to prepare our kids the best that we can as a district for those upcoming tests at the very end or beginning of end of March, beginning of April. So that feels good, and we'll do another practice test with a different test in January. Again, that's this is Bridget Whitstock, our district test coordinator, and coordinates a lot of that. So, and, of course, John Painter with the tech support. So pretty exciting, and just another kind of hurdle out of the way for that. So it's good, getting kids prepared. Also cool coming up, what we just completed, and you'll see a little bit of a show on Friday, the Poetry Out Loud contest, which was great for the high school there in the library, and they read these poems and they videotape them, and there's a regional, and then there's a state competition. And again, I just love these kind of different type of competitions. You know, basketball is awesome, and swimmers and all that stuff cool, but I love these type of academic things, and it can really grab different groups of kids, and this is their interest, and they put a flair, and they use their hands, and they change their voice, and they're coached, and it's pretty cool. So, and we had, I believe the top four winners, I think they're all female, they're going to present to the student body on Friday, just as kind of a fun thing, so it'll be fun to see them. First thing in the morning, I think, 8:30. 8:30 in the auditorium, we're doing it right before the elementary comes storming in with all their cool songs. So that'll be neat along as well during that time too. Mr. Lenhard, when he hiked Mount Rainier a couple months ago, wore our GoPro and has a great video. And we're going to, Friday just being kind of, we want to kind of relax a little bit still. You know, we have academics, of course, but kind of let some steam off. And that's the thing we're going to do is watch his, he has a great slideshow of that performance. So two things happening. But thanks to Mrs. Cotta for doing that. Again, I think it really grabs a certain group of students. Of course, you know, our language arts teachers do some work preparing them. And Bill Ward and Jill Lenhart. So it's pretty cool. And then finally, you know, the dance was amazing. It's not a school sponsor, but just so many of our kids. It's great to see. And then, of course, I just want to say thank. I didn't say it while I was here, but Mr. Lenhart and the band program. And again, to the community, a packed house last night for the high school concert, which I'm so pleased that so many, not just parents, come out and enjoy. I really enjoyed it. My kid was not up there on stage yet, but I thought the music was fantastic. I told Matt I thought it was so good, I would have paid admission, and I'm pretty cheap. So I said it was really good. I agree, the quality of music was pretty good. So that's exciting. On Thursday night, the middle school students are gonna put on a great show, too. That's 7 p.m. in the auditorium. So I encourage, again, people in the holiday spirit, and here's some Christmas and holiday music, get out there and watch that. So that's coming up, and that's some fun stuff. Also, just a final note, too, Wednesday night at 5:30 tomorrow night is financial aid night. So that's a different type of fun for those parents that are hoping to spend a little bit less and get a little bit more financial aid. That's there in the high school library. There is food provided. That's Rachel Etcher helping just to get kids all lined up for financial aid, which opens up on January 1st. So that's good. Also, things happening this week. Any questions for me?
Okay. Thanks. Thank you. Activities Director Jamie Cabrera.
Did see some results of all your activities.
Kudos to the coaches and kids and parents on that one. I just make travel arrangements, and they're fun. No, they did a fantastic job. This fall has been amazingly busy, but fun busy, as you can see, with all those kids from getting involved. And I will do my little mathematical things later as the year gets closer to an end to see how many kids we have participating. But middle school is quite loaded with participants, and I think so is the high school. I do the electronic eligibility for all our students for ASAA, and the list are really long this year. A lot of kids involved, so it's really good. Getting a little bit more exciting in the activities world coming up. Last week we had Juno Douglas girls basketball coming down here. The girls did fantastic on that one. They also, at the same time, running back and forth between the dance recital and girls basketball. So that was kind of our first home event in 2 weeks. We had 2 weeks off. That was amazing. And Our JV boys will be heading over to Juneau this weekend, pick up a couple games at the Holiday Hoops basketball tournament in Juneau, and we'll be hosting our little Norway basketball tournament here this weekend. Games start Thursday at 2:30, and we have Ketchikan boys and girls attending, Craig boys, Metlakatla boys and girls, and Haynes girls coming down for that. So it'll be four games a day starting at about 2:30 on Thursday. Last game starts at 7:45, so it will be busy and fun. If you're bored, come by. We'll be there. And then even during the break, we've got some teams traveling. They'll be heading down to Ketchikan for a tournament there. And then as soon as we get back, we've got more basketball coming in January. So definitely check out that activities calendar. Mine's really colorful. So we also started the Petersburg High School play. Tiffany Christensen has started getting all the kids together with that. Last year, if you weren't able to attend, it was a sort of musical type of play that was really, really good. Kids did fantastic at that, and so she'll be doing that again. And some new audition people I heard just from the crowd today that are getting involved that weren't involved before, so really, really neat for them. Middle school wrestling has started their preseason. They will start January 5th is their first official day of starting wrestling, and so that schedule is going. And then we also scheduled middle school volleyball, then middle school track, and then we'll get into high school baseball, high school track along with that. And then we also had No Shave November, and if you weren't able to attend, Mr. Dormer had a great beard. All the male teachers within the middle school, we had about 8 jars up there with all different beards, and so the kids could vote, and the money went towards men's health and men's cancer research and just kind of doing men's health awareness, and I was lucky enough to get the pie in the face. Sawyer Briner had a good wind-up. Mr. Dormer sat there and watched. It was great. But it was fun. The kids had a good time. Real good video. Watch it over and over and in slow motion, and Sawyer loved it. But it was kind of a fun time to get all the kids together and have a little blast. He was actually looking out for me, put a little bit of whipped cream in the pan, but the kids kind of told him to put a little bit more in there. But it was good. And then on another note, Coach Taylor and I will be heading to Anchorage January 14th, 15th, and 16th. We are going to attend the Alaska State Center for Domestic Violence Coaching Boys to Men Training. It's sponsored by the Alaskan State Department, and Coach Taylor and I got a scholarship through the department, so we'll be flying up there. Thank you to all of them, as well as Rachel Escher for turning in our application. So we'll be heading up there for a full day of training on the 15th for this wonderful program that we've heard with Coaching Boys to Men. So we'll be the first ones from Petersburg, and then hopefully we can get more of the coaches that deal with males, so we can end the domestic violence push and just a little bit more education for our students, and we can pass the word on. So we'll be doing that January 14th, 15th, 16th. Should be wonderful. Then I head off to my next AD meetings in Juneau, January 25, 26. So that's kind of it for activities. Questions?
None. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, upcoming dates and media announcements. The first thing on here is December 15th, high school Christmas.
It's okay. Sure.
No, but what I was going to say is that was last night, and I understand it was a roaring success. And as he just said, there was a standing room only, so that is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then on Thursday is the kindergarten concert at 12:45 p.m. in the auditorium. And I know of one very cute kindergarten child. I don't know. There's probably several more besides my granddaughter. But okay.
My daughter.
And your daughter, yes, they're good friends. And Thursday the 18th is the middle school Christmas concert at 7 o'clock in the auditorium. And Friday the 19th is the elementary Christmas sing-along starting at 9:30 a.m. in the auditorium. And then this Friday, December 19th, will be the last day of school prior to the Christmas vacation. School will resume on Monday, January 5th. And then, on Monday, January 12th, we're getting ready for our next official regular board meeting. So we will have the agenda setting. Who would like to help me set the agenda?
I can do that.
Okay, Megan and Jean, and we will we do it on Monday. This will be Monday the 12th, so that Sharon has plenty of time to get all the things together that we might need for the next meeting. Mm-hmm. And we work around the superintendent's schedule, so we will work on that, and that happens. Okay, a little closer. You generally, why don't we say 2 o'clock?
Okay, and then we'll just...
And we'll see if that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
And then Tuesday the 20th is our next regular meeting. So Sarah and Cheryl did Campus Connection today, I believe. And who would like to do it on January 20th?
I can do it again.
Everything.
I can make January. I'll make January my month. I can do it.
Okay, Sarah and Megan.
30.
And the next regular board meeting will be Tuesday the 20th at 7 p.m. in the high school library, because it must be a holiday, so the borough assembly will be meeting here on that day. Right, so we will be meeting at the library. And Jay can be at that one, so that'll be good. Yeah. Okay, old business. I think that's where I am. There's no old business. New business. We are down to the FY15 budget revisions. Karen. This is something we normally do every year, just a couple times a year?
Twice a year, so we have the... good evening, everyone. We have... you should have a document in your packet, and if not, there's some copies over here. And how I like to work through this, and you guys are certainly welcome to ask questions as we go, is just kind of talk about the summary of what's been changing in the budget from the proposed budget that was adopted in the spring to what we know now. So when you look at page 2, so the top page, that's a summary page of all the documentation that's behind it. And I'm going to start at the top. We're going to talk about the beginning fund balance. So I'm not sure how many people in the general public are aware that the school district is restricted on our fund balance that we are allowed to carry over from year to year. So Alaska statute states that we can't carry over more than 10% of our expenditures from the previous year. So what we did have an increase in our... beginning fund balance of $30,000, so our beginning fund balance is $982,000. The only changes that have been proposed for the revenue are $216,000. And we can look at what that's referenced to on page 4. So in the fall, we have our OASIS account, which is our student count. When we have those actual numbers, they get plugged into a formula called the foundation formula, and that gives us our funding that we're actually going to receive from the state. I plug those numbers in, and I send it to the state for verification. So these are actual numbers. They have been verified with the state of Alaska that this is what we will be receiving. So we have an increase in our foundation program of $197,000. When we submitted our budget in the spring, we had this $18,000 that's down on HB 278. We had that actually included in the foundation formula, but I pulled that out because we're required to actually report it a different way. So just to make it cleaner now, I pulled that down. So the total changes in our revenue is $216,000. So that's always where we start. Do you have a question, Sarah?
Oh, I was just saying, is it because we had the foundation program, we had more kids than we anticipated?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
That's what I figured, but yep. For other people that can't see it.
So if we go to page 5, this is our regular instruction. So in school funding, when they talk about a function, basically everything's broken down by function, and that's what we do in the school district. So function 100 is regular instruction. We have an increase of $27,000 in our certificated salaries. That has to do with zero period contracts. We have a couple of teachers that don't have prep periods, so we have to give them a zero period. There was also several staff members that moved over on the salary schedule. So that causes an increase as well. And an increase in our subs. We actually have a couple of longer-term subs right now in the district, so due to medical reasons. So we increased that to reflect what we're actually going to be spending. The employee benefits is a direct reflection of the PERS and TERS on behalfs and the PERS and TERS, that's the district portion, in the benefits. The admin team met as a group, and we talked about what are the things that we feel we kind of cut back on last year because we were projecting a lower enrollment, and we reduced some of our teaching supply budgets, we reduced our staff development budgets and our transportation budgets. So that's where the majority of the funds that we had still left to allocate, that's where those went. So you'll see an increase in regular instruction of $22,000. The hope is that we can send a group of teachers, staff members to RTI, and there's some other professional development opportunities that are still in the works. M450 function or object code 450 supplies, materials, and media, an increase of $40,000. Our curriculum material, we under budgeted for it. This is huge curriculum adoption year, actually the last 2 years, and so we didn't anticipate how much it was going to cost. Plus, we have more students, so we need more materials. We can go to page 6. Function 200, which is our special education budget. Some small changes in here due to staff moving around in a district. We had one person opt out of the health insurance. Actually, we had a member move to a different department, and so the decrease in benefits by $11,000 is the health insurance. Small increase in the staff travel. There is a group of teachers that are going to a social behavior thinking conference. Is that the correct term? Okay. And then a small increase in supplies and materials. That's page 6. Page 7. We don't have that function, so we can skip page 7. Page 8, support services students. Small increase for a sub-budget and the benefits that are associated with that, a total of $7,421, and a small increase in supplies of $200. It's the counselor's budget, yes. Counselors and nurse budget are in there. And really when I'm looking at these, I'm looking at, is there any area that's in the red, or and just basically bringing it up so that it's zero. I'm also anticipating what other supplies they may need. I'm always looking at last year's actuals with this year's needs and trying to follow the administration's, you know, guidelines for creating the budget. Function 350, this is our technology budget and our library budget. And there was a little bit of changes that were made. Originally, our CERT contract, which is under 410, I had originally put that in 440, but in talking with John, we decided to split that out so we have a better idea of what we're spending on CERT. So that's now in 410. And then we have Canvas and some other purchase services that we have. And so that's in 440. We're just trying to separate things out to make it cleaner for us when we're looking at the budgets. And then an increase of $10,000 for staff travel. Every year there's a group of people, staff members, that go to ASTE conference, and there was also some other conferences that John was interested in looking at. So that decrease in the $15,000 in other purchase services, that basically went up to the CERC. Increase of $12,000 at 450. That's the supplies material. That's all of our equipment, technology equipment, is in here. This one probably has the most changes. Do you guys have any questions on this one? Okay, page 10, school administration. Nothing, no changes. Page 11, 450. School administration support services, Again, no changes on this budget line item. Page 12 is district administration. There's no changes on this. Page 13, which is 550, this is district administration support services. This is my budget. There's a small increase of $3,000 to increase my assistant's hours to 35 hours per week. It's an increase of 5 hours per week. And then a decrease in the employee benefits of $13,000 for opting out of the health insurance. An increase in 410 of $4,500, that's actually for the audit. So this year, one thing that had changed is our audit is normally, they normally take two of our other funds that fit these certain requirements considered major funds, and they audit those. Well, this year we had the Healthy Living Grant and we had the CIP project, so they had to actually audit four of our funds because they met the major criteria, which caused an increase of $4,500. An increase of $5,000 for staff travel. The thought with this is ASOP. I'd like to do ASOP training with the secretaries. I talked with a representative last week when I was at LASBO conference, and they're going to have either a representative in Alaska or they could bring somebody to the district, and I think the district would really benefit with some more training on the ASOP program.
ASOP stands for?
It is our leave scheduler and substitute program. So when somebody is sick and they need to put in a leave, they can put it in this program. The program will call out and try and find a sub to fill that position. We also use it for managing our leaves as well, for payroll. I know, I just automatically assume everybody knows what I'm talking about. 445 is insurance. There's a decrease in that. We were actually, we were told our insurance premiums were going to go up a certain percentage, and it was actually double them. It was more than what they had, it was less. They had told us more. We budgeted for more, and it turned out it was a lot less. So a decrease of $8,000 in our insurance. Small increase for supplies, materials. So overall, decrease in this budget of almost $9,000. Page 14, operations maintenance budget. Again, the insurance was the same thing. We over-budgeted for that based on the information that we had. Just moved those funds down into supplies, materials, and media. And that actually is like custodial supplies. It's all the equipment. It's the light bulbs. It's the equipment to, it's the paint. It's everything to keep the facilities up and running.
Well,
and not the boiler, though.
No, but that's wonderful to know that we have, that there's been that savings on insurance.
Yes.
And so it's available for these other things. So
exactly.
Great.
Page 15, student activities. Just some small changes. Increase in student travel. For the activities that have already occurred, we have gone over a little bit in the budgets that were there, so I basically moved enough funds in to make those zero. 430 is $500 increase for utility services. That's actually for those little Wi-Fi things. Thank you. Little hubs that they bring on the ferry with them so that they can have internet access. And a small increase in dues and fees of $500.
So if we bring something on the ferries now, we can actually have Wi-Fi service even though they don't provide it.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi devices basically run off cellular coverage. So as long as we have cellular coverage, we can connect 10 computers to one Wi-Fi device. And so the kids can actually do their homework when we're in Chapel Street.
Wonderful.
And so we have one device, and we're looking to get another one because usually we have more than one group traveling at the same time. So it comes in handy a lot.
Joe looks like he's wishing that was a little closer to the microphone then.
Sorry.
So our increase in expenditures for all those different functions is $188,883, with our ending fund balance of $983,438. The other thing that I want to point out, so we are limited to the 10% of fund balance that we're allowed to carry forward. The other thing that is in Alaska statute that we have to meet is 70% or more of our budget has to go to direct instructions to the kids. And right now, with this proposed budget, we're at 74%, which is, it's excellent.
So. One of the few districts in the state that's actually probably doing that.
Yep. So I know I go through it fast, and I just assume that you guys know everything, because I do. Do you have any questions specifically about the proposed budget, or want me to go in more detail about anything?
Any questions, anyone? I think it's pretty clear. Thank you very much for making that so clear to us. All righty, I'd like a motion.
I make a motion to approve the fiscal year 2015 budget revision.
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded to approve the FY15 budget revisions. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Cheryl Farrell?
Yes.
Megan Lipson?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Okay, personnel hire. We are in the process of employing Erica Thompson as a preschool instructional assistant. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's maybe because we have another additional special needs child.
She's been hired to work with an intensive student at Head Start.
Because intensive students are one-on-one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So people understand why we're putting on another person is because when we do get an intensive student, mm-hmm. we're required to have a one-on-one for them.
Yep.
And so then we do hire often for that particular position if we get an additional intensive student.
Yeah.
What?
It's not a full-time position.
It's not a full-time position. This is a part-time mm-hmm. position.
And she does some transportation in there too, so we're obligated to provide that.
So this is to meet our obligations.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And she's great. She's excellent.
Okay. Can I have a motion?
I can recommend a motion to approve the employment of Erica Thompson, preschool instructional assistant.
So I'll second.
Okay. Motion made and seconded. Any more discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. 5-0. Wellness committee report. Ginger, you've been working hard on this for a long time now.
Always.
Halfway through your second year,
yes.
This wonderful grant.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. What she's passing out is a healthy living grant news. It says at the top of this.
Hey, good evening. Ginger Evans here, talking about the Wellness Committee, but more importantly about the Healthy Living Grant, which we are in our second year, halfway through, our grant from the state of Alaska. So what I have included in the little packets that I just passed out is the first one is a newsletter that I put together last month and sent out to all staff, making sure that individuals, these are things that are ongoing as far as what we're doing as one component of the grant for staff wellness.
Ginger, do you have more copies of this for anybody in the audience that might like to have one?
Sure. And so one of the components of the grant is staff wellness, so we've been renting the pool once a month to do swim Saturdays for staff for an hour. And I actually have to say the high school staff has won the percentage of the most people there swimming on a Saturday morning. It's been fun. We also do Team Thursdays, where we try to encourage staff to get out of their classrooms at 3:30, 3:45 to go exercise for an hour. We have the fitness room reserved if people want to come and do group fitness type activities and use the GameCube that Parks and Rec has now and do some spinning. So just trying to get staff out and about saying, you know, this is an important component for us to stay healthy and well in our own classrooms teaching as we need to get out and be physically active. Another component of the grant that we're pretty excited about is the grant's actually able to pay for registration fees for a class that 21 staff members are taking on understanding adverse childhood experiences, a trauma-informed approach for schools, with the facilitators, Dr. Linda Chamberlain, who came to Petersburg about 5 years ago, we're thinking, and talked about the adolescent brain, the amazing adolescent brain. And those of us that went up for the School Health and Wellness Conference in October had the privilege of listening to her speak. She was one of the keynote speakers, and we heard what she was talking about, and a group of us were just sitting there going, oh my goodness. And she talked a lot about what stress does to your body. And
she was one of the keynote speakers at the AASB conference last year.
And she's just absolutely amazing. So when we saw the webinar come across through Alaska Staff Development Network, we talked about it, and I checked with the overseers for the grant, and they said, sure, you can use grant funding because this is all pertaining to the health and wellness of kids, the more informed you are. So we're pretty excited that there's that many staff as well that are signed up for the class, and then there's a few of us that paid the additional money to take it for a credit. So it's pretty exciting. The second page is just information about what's been going on this fall, and I don't want to read through all this just to save time because you guys can do that, but a few other things that I was thinking of, oh, what are we doing now? What else are we doing? Couple things is this year, I started last spring, but this year I completed it out to have weekly fitness nutritional tips in the bulletins at this elementary school, middle school, and high school. So every week I try to flip-flop them. 1 week will be a nutrition tip. The next week will be physical activity. This week's on snowshoeing. I just wish we had some more snow. So that's there. I also, another component of the grant that was kind of a goal long-term was to establish a Facebook page, and I did that in the last month. It's called the Healthy Living Grant. So if you're on Facebook, you can check that out and like it, and I'm trying to post more things on there as appropriate. And also partnering, a couple of partnerships that I didn't add on here is one thing that I'm working with Cindy Fry and Meg Litzer is the Activities for All, and just trying to help it through the grant, supporting it, whether it's just I'm showing up to help with activities, or we had a swim day arranged, and so I was there to help, you know, in the pool if needed. And so it's just kind of fun, another way to get the grant out there to help community activities. Also, we are investigating options, potentially, if we can look at what would it take to have a new track, improve upon the track we currently have at the district. And I know that's been a dream for a long time, is what can we do with that space? We do have all of the students in the district, K-12, are utilizing that space. We have community members. We have different after-school activities that use it. So it's like, what can we do to really make it more of a track? Because it's really just an oval. There's no straight stretches. So working with Brad Taylor on that. And so that's kind of an interesting direction to go. We are working on doing height and weight collection in the elementary school this week, which is a component of the grant that we have to actually, then I will compile it and send it on to the state. And then middle school and high school will work on with Aaron Michaels at the public health nurse in February. So we're excited about that. Healthy Futures Challenge went well in the elementary school this fall, and Dino and Dan signed up for the Spring Challenge, and that will be February, March, and April. So we're pretty excited about that. And yesterday, a group of us met to start going over the wellness policy with some of the changes that the AASB, working with the state, with Lauren Kelsey, who is the director of the grant, the Obesity Prevention Control Grant, with a gold standard policy, wellness policy. Actually, our policy was probably one of the first policies to be in place in the state, actually, when that became a federal mandate. So we actually had a really good document, but there's been some changes because the guidelines have changed from the federal standpoint for nutrition guidelines, what kind of snacks can we serve in schools, what can be in our vending machines, what can't. Fundraising, when can that happen? What does that need to look like? So that's the language that's being added. So I've gone through and added language. We talked about some of the components that we're still a little concerned about, and we're going to meet again in January. And then I'm hoping that by the February board meeting, we'll have a document to give you to start looking at for readings, so we can get our three readings in, and I believe it has to be approved by June 30th. So I think that would give 3 months enough time. Okay. Only two readings? Okay, so plenty of time. Okay. So the other document I gave you just is actually the our action plan for this year. Just take time to look at it if you're trying to figure out what we're doing. It's a requirement that last spring had to get together with Erica and a few other key individuals as far as what are we going to do for this next year. And you'll notice that I have some notes in the box because those are things we've already accomplished this year, because I have to report quarterly to the state on what we've done with our action plan, as well as I have a narrative that I turn in once a quarter. So if you have any questions about what's on there, or if you see things that you're thinking, well, this might be something we want to think about for next year, just let me know, because we'll start writing the plan again in, like, March, I think is about the time frame. The
next, this grant goes through next year, right? It's a three-year grant?
As long as the state still funds it, it's a four-year grant. Okay. So we'll have two more years after this year. So pretty excited about that. The next page is actually what the state compiled as far as obesity rates in our district, which is one of the things of the grant is actually looking at, through the grant, are we able to reduce the numbers that we see in our schools. And so this is, we've had a little bit of baseline data before, but this really will give us some key information as we turn in our data in the springtime, and then they compile and they'll come up with another PDF form. And these all can be found on the website down at the bottom, and it'll compare with the other schools in the state that are part of this grant. So Mat-Su, Tote Gateways, part of the grant, North Slope, Ketchikan, Sitka, so we can actually look and see where we're at with other districts. And looking at the numbers, you know, this is kind of where we thought we would be from when we wrote the grant, and we're trying to figure out, okay, what percentage, and so we're pretty spot on with the numbers that we came up with. And then the next page is just a fact sheet that the Department of Health and Human Services put out 2 weeks ago, just about the importance of physical education in our schools and what the state currently mandates, what schools can do to help, what healthcare providers can do to help, that schools are working really hard to have strong PE policies, that kids need to be active, and thank you as a board and the school district administration that we've always been able to keep our PE programs, which is pretty amazing at a time when a lot of other schools, especially elementary schools, are seeing PE programs go on the wayside. So thank you so much for always supporting our PE and swim program. It's wonderful. So it also talks about wellness policies and the where PE should be mandatory and everything. So just a great little fact sheet that the state has put together. And this is I think this really shows how important it is for the coming from the Department of Health and Human Services, that physical education is really important to see that coming from that side of the state, not this, just the Department of Ed. So those would be all the papers in your packet. Just busy trying to work on different things, ideas, always looking for ideas. One wonderful component of the grant is being able to help fill in some of the gaps in equipment that we haven't had necessarily for PE or even health classes, trying to look at ways that we can cross with nutrition and physical activity. So last year ordered some bean bags that are all these fruits and vegetables, and actually they've been used more in the Spanish class as kids are learning fruits and vegetables and in health class, the high school health class, than what I thought I had intended for elementary school, being able to use it in their PE classes with bean bag type activities. So just trying to look at how can we just keep hitting the idea that there's the importance of eating healthy food and being physically active and providing support for staff as well. So,
okay.
Any questions? Just feel free to email me, stop in my little office if you do have any questions. And again, look through the action plan, and if you can see anything that you think might be missing, just drop me a line. This grant, it's moving. It's flexible as far as where we want to go, what direction we want to do. And so it's been great so far. Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right, overview of student state activities travel funding. Is that you, Jamie? What the?
I also have this pile of extra co-curricular BP 6145 on my...
That's not for tonight. Oh, for later. Oh, okay. Got it.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to talk about state travel, kind of how it's done, how it's handled, and how we get students to the state tournament. I know that has been a concern, and so I'll give you guys the lowdown. When I first got here, started talking to our first groups that made it to the state tournament. We are one of the districts that does not pay anything for student travel to the state tournament. We are not alone in that. There are many districts that do not pay for state travel, just because if you look at the amount that we pay throughout the regular season, it's never, if you build that in to the budget. It's not a guarantee that every team goes to state and they have to earn their way. So it's a common practice amongst all schools throughout the state. Some districts, depending on how they handle it, some might pay 50% of their state travel, but sometimes it does get spendy, and we know that. So our philosophy is trying to make it as cheap and as affordable and easy as possible for some of these parents and students when they go to state. So when I first got here, a lot of the talk has been, okay, we qualified for state. Typically, it's about $950 a pop that a student is paying for airfare, hotel, transportation. And a lot of the times, they never know if they're going to qualify for that state tournament until Saturday when the plane leaves Wednesday the next week. So the parents would have to come up, or the families come up with $900, or else they don't go. So a lot of the students would just not attend the state tournament, what they've been working for that whole season, and not pay that $900 for that kind of the big culminating event of the year, which we totally understand. So what I've done, I did some research and kind of knew how we've done it in the past over in Sitka. And in Sitka, we never paid for state travel as well. A lot of it comes from fundraising, a lot of fundraising. And when you look at our activities and compare them to other activities of districts or schools of our size, we actually don't hit them up as much as the fundraising. Some teams are actually fundraising $55,000 a year, and that's just one program. And so some are fundraising $30,000 a year. And so we're within the realm of between 5 and 10 at some activities. So not too bad, but other places are doing quite a lot. So to give you a scenario, I'll go with swimming this year. We qualified for state. This was probably the most exciting one. With swimming, there's a specific amount of students that qualify. So prior to state, we have our regular meets, and I kind of talk with the coaches, and I ask them, how many do you think are going to qualify? Try to just get a number. They get to see other competitors. And what we have as a school district is we have a contract with Alaska Airlines that gives us a specific letter on seats. And so your class Ys through your class Zs, I know this contract in and out now. So if you know what I'm talking about, you probably catch on. And then since the morning jet is now a combi, there are limited class Y through N seats that are on that jet. So now the prices get hiked up a little higher. So what I do is with swimming, their region meet is on Friday, Saturday. I talk to the coach prior to kind of think how many students are going to qualify. We do not know who's going to qualify until Saturday evening at about 6 p.m. The group desk that I call for Alaska Airlines closes at 6 p.m. on Saturday. But those tickets are probably $600 to $900 a pop at that point. So what I do is back in September, I call Alaska Airlines and I book a certain amount of seats. And 7 days prior to departure, I have to pay for those tickets with names in them. But we don't know who qualifies until 4 days prior to departure. So I have to gamble and put money down on these seats. And sometimes we have to either eat them as a district or we use them for another state trip or another trip that's coming up. So basically, I put down $3,000 on a reservation that I don't know is going to happen yet. And so when they qualify, it's, yes, I don't have to worry about that ticket. So swimming, we had it all. Oh, and by the way, I have to have a minimum of 8 to go within this group, and they all have to depart for the group to continue on. So there's lots of rules and twists and ins and outs and all sorts of stuff, and you cannot use miles on this group fare because we get a 15% discount. You cannot use a companion fare because we're already getting kind of a deal. So we get the deal. We set it up. All my people are booked on there on, we find out Saturday. They're booked the week prior. So the week prior, before we even have regions, they're already booked with names in them. 3 days prior, I can do name changes 3 days prior to departure without getting charged another $125 per ticket per name change. So I have all these tickets, got them at a really good rate. Sunday night, we hear that the 200 boys relay qualified at 7:45 p.m. That means more students go. I don't have the seats yet. So, get on the phone. No, actually, I look at what the ticket is for one seat because I was one ticket short. And it is $1,900 round trip from Petersburg to Anchorage, and they had to go through Seattle. So now we're in kind of this flux of, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And then I'm thinking, okay, so there's little pieces that you can put here and there. So if you heard, Coach Andy had to fly separate from the group. So what I ended up doing was taking him off the group rate. Our assistant coach, Charlie Roden, was on that route already, so she was a chaperone going up and down. Coach Andy had to actually fly a day earlier and a day later because the whole state and the whole region is trying to get up north and come back, and parents, and they're all combi jets now. So there's limited seats going north, going south. And so in order for me to not pay $1,900 with Andy leaving Tuesday, going through Juneau, then back to Seattle, then back to Anchorage on the direct, then when he went home, he would have to leave Sunday morning at 2 a.m., fly to Seattle, then get back home before the team on the morning jet and overnight in Seattle, because he would reconnect with 65. I know all the routes and the flight numbers. It's really fun. We had to fly him up a day early, which saved $1,000, and that was the best savings that we could do. He wanted to do it because he wanted the kids to travel all on their own. That's just the beginning of the whole process. So now that we got the group traveling all together, everything's kind of working out.
If you sent the student by themselves, you would have had to send a chaperone with them.
Right, and then we'd have to ask the parents, are you okay with your kid traveling alone? And then if their plane gets delayed, now that's a whole other thing. And if they get stuck in a town where, I mean, I think I talked to someone the other day and they got bumped. And they ended up in Yakutat one night, then ended up back in Seattle, then finally made it to Petersburg. And so you make all the little connections with 61, 65, 64, all that jazz. So once we get done with that, if I make the group rates ahead of time earlier, it saves our kids about $375 a ticket if I pre-book them early. But I'm also taking that gamble as far as I'm not sure who's going to qualify. And if they do, awesome. If they don't, oh no, what do I do? But I use it for another trip that might be coming up. And then you add in the transportation with the vehicles and then the hotel rooms with those. So I also book the hotel rooms about 2 months out in advance so I can get some pretty good deals and make sure that they're all at the same place. And then with the car rentals, sometimes there are no minivans available in certain places. So I book those out 2.5-3 months out, just so we can get some pretty good government rates with what we do. So my part-time job is travel agent. And so now what we also do is we have this number that is lower than 900 of what it used to be. Now we're talking about in the 650 realm, which is pretty cheap for what we got on some of the trips. But then we have the challenge of some of the kids cannot pay for that right off the bat. And if we're asking anyone, hey, I need your $691 now or else I'm pulling your name off the flight. We've set up, Karen and I have worked a ton with Rick too involved, and we talked a lot, and we've actually set up a payment plan that some of the students and the parents, basically what they do is they put down $100 before the trip starts, and they pay that off, and we send invoices from the athletic department. So Marcia Sandhofer sends the invoices for me. We collect them. We've got a spreadsheet. We've got a grid of who has what and how much everyone has left, and they constantly make payments towards that account that we basically front the money for those kids to travel, and then they just pay it off because it's really hard. And then sometimes you fall into the trap of you have two kids that are on that state travel trip. So that's about $1,000 per kid. So then once we get the payment plan, then they're good, paid off before their next activity. That way we don't get stuck with this bill that we've dropped some money on it. And the fundraising does help. We end up paying for the head coach. We end up paying for the coach that's going up as well. And then if we need a male-female chaperone, the district pays the airfare for the male chaperone and the female chaperone. So a lot of these state trips, it's basically a gamble on some of them. Sometimes I'm over on my tickets. Sometimes I'm under, but sometimes I'd rather be over and use the tickets later. That way I don't get stuck by having one or two that are off. And what we're trying to do now is make sure that every kid gets on that group rate so their cost is exactly the same across the board when it goes from one group rate to the next. And so my guesstimation basically has to be right on. And keeping it all within one realm, it helps out a lot. And so a lot of the other schools, they will book their tickets way in advance. And so if you see rows 21 through 28 booked on Alaska Airlines, you know that's a group pretty much. So that's usually where we end up. So swimming was one. Wrestling worked out perfect this year. Cross country was a challenge because we didn't see our boys team qualifying at first, and they did fantastic. They actually qualified by 1 point. So that's when I needed 6+ seats on that one plane to get up, and that's a challenge because by the time you call the group desk on Monday, that jet is usually sold out. And so, especially on those weekends, especially if it's a combi jet that's going up, it's a gamble. So what we see, what we try to think is one solo ticket. Oh, but that one ticket, there's one left. And I go, yeah, but I need 9 or I need 14 of those, and there's only a certain class where I get a discount on, then the price goes higher. So I play that game.
Fundraising, how much of the fundraising goes toward paying for the student themselves travel? You know, that
zero.
Like a parent.
Oh, right. And so kind of like their regular conference trips.
Say my kid qualified for state.
Uh-huh.
And my kid's in wrestling,
right.
And the wrestling team has raised X amount of money.
Yep.
Does a certain percentage of that go to each student?
Right.
How does that work?
Yep. And so what we like to do, instead of keeping track of who was there for an hour and who was there for 2 hours, what we'd like to do is the fundraising goes towards the program itself and to help the program. And so the money is split up amongst the students that attend, and sometimes the coach likes to keep 1,000 in there. Just in case for some other items, so they keep some funds in there. But typically, they will say, "Okay, let's split it up. Let's take $2,000 from our fundraising, put it towards everyone's," and then that's when I go back to the calculator, redo all the things, and then send the papers out to the parents. And so I kind of give a warning letter about 1-2 weeks out, basically, just hey, Regions is coming up. You have the I also give the parents the options. You can either go miles on your own, buy your ticket on your own, but they have to be on this schedule. That way we have our chaperones, or they can get a ticket through the school. And so the rate that we got for our wrestlers was phenomenal. It was $391.60 round trip for our wrestlers to go up, which I did back in September. And then if you looked Monday morning, it was $1,765 round trip. So I'm on Alaska Airlines a lot and know all the group desk ladies. So, yeah. But a lot of different rules that go into it, and just it's a new education piece because we've only been doing this maybe 2 years now, I think. And a lot of our teams are going to state now, so it's happening a lot. So trying to educate all of the parents and the coaches on how it works. And it's a big gamble sometimes with a lot of money. So any other questions?
Any questions? It's very fascinating. Thank you.
It is.
All your hard
and
work.
It's better and it's cheaper for the kids, which we found. So we've been saving. And sometimes we have to come back on a Monday. So wrestling came back on a Monday, but it saved $375 a pop. And then when you add hotel room, food, it was still cheaper. So sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay. Hope that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Thank you. Okay, the next thing is a student matter, but actually there's two more little teeny things on our agenda. Additional comments from board members? There are none. Future agenda items? I don't believe there are any. So those are all the other things we would, because we're going to go into executive session to deal with a student matter. But I thought if we got rid of the additional number 14 and number 15, then those people that are here keeping track of the meeting, all we're going to come back in is make the adjournment motion, so just so they know that. Alrighty, now we are down to 13.5 student matters, recommended motion. I have a motion.
I recommend a motion to approve to recess to executive session for matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be confidential, more specifically a student matter.
Motion been made and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes 5-0. Okay, thank you all very much.